From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Amazon warehouse workers in Bessemer, Alabama, have just begun a 7-week process of voting to join a union. For the first time in 7 years, the world's largest retailer faces a unionizing effort, one that it has fought tooth and nail against. Workers at the sprawling warehouse facility in Bessemer have been subjected to aggressive anti-union messaging. But if the union drive works, Amazon could be forced to negotiate with the workers on the size of their salaries, the conditions of their workplace, and more. And it could inspire other Amazon workers to unionize. My guest is Stuart Applebaum, Executive Vice President of UFCW and President of RWDSU, which is the Retail, Wholesale and Department Store Union, which is a union that Amazon warehouse workers are voting to join. Welcome to the program, Stuart.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again.
So first, let's talk about what the backstory of this unionizing effort has been. I imagine that it was a long and hard won battle to even arrive at this point where on February 8th, workers have started this 7-week process of voting. What led up to this moment?
Over the summer, several workers at the Amazon facility in Bessemer came looking for the union, feeling that they were in need of help. They felt the conditions of working at the Amazon facility were intolerable. People were worried about their health and safety. People were worried about the coronavirus. And even before the pandemic, it was very difficult to be an Amazon employee. At the same time, people were inspired by the Black Lives Matter movement. A lot of people felt that it was time for them to stand up to the dignity and respect they deserved at work. And people decided that something had to be done, and they came to see us. And the stories we heard were really outrageous about the way people were being dehumanized and mistreated by Amazon. People get their assignments from a robot, they're disciplined by an app on their phone, and they're fired by text message. Every motion they make is being surveilled. And people were not happy. And at the same time, they felt they had no voice in the conditions. And that was particularly important during a time of pandemic.
And of course, I understand that the majority of the workers in that facility are people of color, and of course, low-income people of color.
I would say that 85% of the people who work at the facility are African American. We see this as being as much a civil rights struggle as we see it being a labor struggle.
Did the change in administration have anything to do with them being allowed to get to the point where they can vote?
Not yet. We're not likely to see a change in the makeup in the board until later this year. Right now, it's still the Trump majority. I think, though, that Amazon's behavior has been so outrageous that even the Trump majority felt that something had to be done. Amazon argued in the middle of a pandemic that the 5,800 workers at this facility should not be allowed to vote by mail, but that they had to come in person to cast their votes. And that's outrageous. Alabama has one of the worst infection rates in the country. You're endangering the lives of your own workers. But Amazon thought that an in-person vote would give them additional advantages, which is why they were insisting on it. And even the Trump NLRB board rejected Amazon's
Wow.
arguments.
So there was an interesting Washington Post article about the anti-union blitz. And of course, it should always be noted that Amazon is owned by Jeff Bezos, the CEO, soon to be executive officer of chief executive rather of Amazon. He's stepping down from his position as CEO very soon, but he owns the Washington Post, and still the Washington Post had a very good article, I thought, on the anti-union blitz that stalks Alabama warehouse workers everywhere, even the bathroom. Tell me about the anti-union efforts, the union busting efforts that also include the slick website called Do It Without Dues.
They are doing everything they possibly can. It's the most aggressive anti-union effort that I've ever seen. They are bombarding people with propaganda throughout the warehouse. There are signs and banners and posters everywhere, even in the bathroom stalls. If you are sitting on a toilet, they have positioned their propaganda at eye level for you, telling you even then you should not join a union. They're texting people multiple times a day, telling them to vote no. They are having captive audience meetings where workers are required to come and listen to lectures about why they need to vote no. They have brought people in to walk the halls of the facility, telling people that they need to vote no. They're even lying to people. They're telling people, don't vote for the union. It's going to cost you a lot of money if the union wins, knowing full well that Alabama is a right-to-work state and nobody ever has to pay union dues, never has to pay a penny unless they decide they want to. What I thought was really amazing too is that our organizers would talk to people while they were stopped at a red light on the road exiting the facility. Amazon had the city change the traffic lights so our organizers wouldn't be able to speak
Are you
to people.
serious? Oh my gosh.
I am serious. People
Wow.
would be stopped at the light, and while they were stopped, our organizers would come up and answer questions. And so Amazon had them remove the red light, and you pretty much go from as soon as you approach the light becomes green.
Wow.
So that you're not able to talk to an organizer.
I want to pick up on what you were saying about what they're saying around union dues. One of the posters that I saw that they put up for workers is entitled, "Where Will Your Dues Go?" And this is what they say. They say, "You already know the union would charge you almost $500 a year in dues, but where is that money going? In 2019, RWDSU, which is your union, took in around $3.5 million in dues paid by employees like you, and they sent more than 30% of that money to their head office in New York City." And then they say, learn more by visiting doitwithoutdues.com. So as you said earlier, because of this right-wing effort around the country that has unfortunately succeeded in many states, like in Alabama, unions cannot actually charge workers dues. What do you make of this claim? Oh, all this money is going to some New York head office.
I also have to tell you that they just made that up out of thin air. It's just not true. We do not receive, the RWDSU does not receive any money from the dues that these workers would pay. Amazon doesn't care what it says, it
I mean,
just
unions do
lies to
need money
people.
to function, right? I mean, that's
Right?
another aspect of it. All of the profits that Amazon makes from its workers' labor goes into Jeff Bezos's pockets.
Let me give you one statistics if I could. It comes from Oxfam from just a few weeks ago. If Jeff Bezos gave every single one of his employees I think he has something like 1.1, 1.2 million employees. Now, if he gave every single one of his employees a bonus check for $105,000 afterwards, he would still be wealthier now than he was at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh my goodness.
And we were talking about his incredible, incalculable wealth then. And yet they go to this extent to prevent people from having a voice. He could afford to do so much better, and he refuses to. And I want to point something else about something you said earlier. You talked about how his title was changing. His title may be changing in the company, but we don't know if his role will be changing. And also look at the day they decided to announce that his title was changing. It was the day that the FTC also announced that Amazon was going to have to pay back $62 million to drivers whose tips they stole. They stole their drivers' tips, and they had to pay it back. And I think that what Bezos was trying to do was to create a distraction, just like Trump would do. So instead of focusing on the $62 million they stole from their drivers, people would talk about the fact that Bezos was getting a new title.
And some have suggested that he may have a different title, but it's very likely, you know, that he's still calling the shots, but with less of the responsibility or less accountability and less visibility. What about your union's efforts to try to counter the massive propaganda anti-union effort by Amazon? What are the ways in which you and the pro-union folks who approached you have done to convince those thousands of warehouse workers in Bessemer to vote to join the union?
We're talking to everyone we can, and we're telling them what the truth is. And when we're able to talk to people, they understand. There are 5,805 people that we have to talk to. We have to counter the lies. We have to counter the campaign of misinformation. But we're doing it. And we have to counter the intimidation to tell people that they don't have to be afraid. They can vote for the union and not worry that Amazon is going to know how they voted. It's a lot of work. We're doing it. We have a long period of time to go until March 29th.
That's that seven-week voting period that begins on the 8th of February and goes through March.
But this election is the most important union election in many, many years, because this election is not just about this one facility, this one Amazon facility in Alabama. This election is really about the future of work, what the work world is going to look like going forward. Amazon is transforming industry after industry, and it is also transforming the nature of work. And that's why there was so much attention to this election.
I understand that you even had to share sort of the basic contours and concepts of what a union is. There was a video on your union website that just goes through what a union is. And a large part of that has to do with the fact that we just have such low levels of unionization around the country, right? That for decades now, we've had many workers who either have never been in a union or don't know anybody who's been in a union and who really need to be reminded of the importance of union, what actually a union does, right?
We have a little advantage at this facility because it's located in Bessemer, Alabama, which was a center for mills, the mine mill union, the steel workers union, were strongly represented in Bessemer. And many of the people we come across working at Amazon tell us that they had a parent or they had a grandparent who was a union member and has told them the importance of being part of a union.
And when you talk to people about the kinds of advantages that come with being in a union, what do you say to them? How do you sell the idea of a union with them? We know the studies have shown that those workers that are in unions nationwide, on average, tend to have higher salaries, better job security, better working conditions, better benefits. Are those the kinds of things that, I mean, obviously, it's not a magic bullet, because once you're in a union, you still then have to negotiate with the company and, you know, come to an agreement to have a union contract. But what are the promises that a union can bring?
I think basically what we're saying is that with a union, you are not alone. The union has your back, which means all the people you work with have your back. If you're going to be disciplined, if you're going to be fired, you're not on your own. You've got the union to stand up and protect you. And the company is going to have to listen to your voice. And that's particularly important as it relates to health and safety, especially during the time of the pandemic. We talk to people about what you're able to accomplish when you stand together, and that we will be able to negotiate together for what it is that people need and deserve.
And we also know recently that Google workers joined, or they started their own union. They didn't go through a certification process. They just decided to start the Alphabet Workers Union. It's the first union, not a formal union in the sense of the RWDSU, but they formed what is considered the first tech workers union in Silicon Valley. And of course, Amazon is very much in that realm. It is such a sprawling company. That do you think that if the Alabama warehouse workers do successfully vote to join a union, that it could spark and inspire unionization efforts at other aspects of the company, even among some of its tech workers?
2 points there. One, we were delighted to get a statement of support from the new Alphabet Workers Union. That was really nice, and we appreciated it. But I think that if we are successful, it's going to spark organizing, not just in the tech industry, but all over this country. You know, Amazon has 800 or so warehouses, and this is an election at just one of them, even though it's still for a large number of people, 5,800 people. We also know we're not going to change Amazon in one day, but holding an election, just holding the election, is a breakthrough. We've opened the door, and people are going to go running through that door. And if we win, it's really going to spark organizing everywhere.
And so for those who are right now listening and who are in an industry that they would like to unionize, go through the steps of what it takes to join a union, to get to the place even where warehouse workers are able to vote for union. It is not an easy road, but there are bigger unions like yours and that are you know, ready, available, and willing to help workers in various industries start a union organization effort. They just have to sort of start the process, right?
We have been hearing from so many people working at so many different work sites wanting to get a union in their workplace right now. And we tell them to talk to their co-workers and to talk to us. And we will help them. We will help them put a campaign together if there's enough support. Typically, what you need to do is to demonstrate to the National Labor Relations Board that you have the requisite interest and that you can show that interest in holding a union election in order for the government to order an election. Typically, that requires 30% of the people in the work site signing cards that they want a union election. And most unions would want to show up with a much higher percentage than 30%, but you need 30%. And then we received a majority of people's cards at this facility. We went to the board. Amazon tried to prevent the election from taking place, tried to delay it, tried to put up all sorts of obstacles. And I don't believe they ever expected that we were going to be able to successfully get to an election.
Where can people find out more about the work that you do and also the Amazon union effort?
I'll give you two websites to go to. The union's website is rwdsu.org. R is in retail, W is in wholesale, D is in department, S is in store, U is in union.org. And this campaign's website is bamazonunion.org, bamazonunion.org. And please, please, please visit those websites. You can follow me on Twitter at sappelbaum, sappelbaum. And I want to thank you for covering the story, and
I encourage
people to check it out.
Thank you so much, Stuart. Really appreciate it. We'll be certainly watching to see how the vote transpires in March. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Stuart Appelbaum, Executive Vice President of UFCW, President of the Retail, Wholesale and Department Store Union. We've been discussing the union vote that Amazon warehouse workers in Alabama have just begun. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at RU with Sonali.